If you have the scriptures before you, I ask that you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This morning we're going to be considering 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 58. Now, there's a couple of reasons I wanted to preface why this particular text is before you this morning. For the past couple of weeks, we've actually been considering some of the great themes of redemption that Christ has accomplished for His people. What you've heard actually in the last couple of weeks from Tim is a portion of a ordering or process by which God saves His people. So you might recall on Upward Sunday, you heard a sermon about repentance from that famous character of Zacchaeus. And then the next week you heard about a sermon on faith and how God works faith in us that we might cling to Him, and that portion of scripture about the blind beggar. And then last week you might recall Pastor Tim preaching a sermon from the book of James, which told us that if we're going to have faith, we must show evidence. We must produce the fruits of good works. And what I have for us this morning is that God actually has something still yet to accomplish in His work of salvation for His people. God has before us a hope that is so glorious that all that He has done so far, that all that God has done before, is only but a prelude to what He has yet to do for us on His final day of redemption. So this morning, you will hear the end of that matter. You will hear of God's salvation for His people in the final victory and the return of Jesus Christ. Secondly, why I have this text before you is because I am convinced that if you hear the words of God this morning, if you unplug your ears and you open your eyes to God's words this morning, you will be changed. The words that you will hear about the final, perfect, and complete victory in Christ will change you. That is my prayer. And before we read God's word, let us go to our true and living God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we praise You and we thank You that You have redeemed us. Father, we thank You that Your salvation is full and complete. Lord, we thank You that the true and living God is not a God who is afar off and who cannot be known, but that You have revealed Yourself to us in Your word that we might know how we can have life in our Savior Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that the anxieties and cares of the world in the past week would melt away as we reflect upon the salvation we have in Christ. Lord, I pray that You would indeed unplug our ears and open our eyes to Your powerful word. And it's only in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'll be reading verses 51 through 58. Hear God's word for you. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. May God bless His Word. You see, our age is actually an age that is marked by suffering and death. You simply have to look around to know that is true. Our bodies fail us. Our friends forsake us. Many of you are sitting here this morning with such great pain and anguish in your hearts that you even wonder how you're going to continue on. Others among us continue to wrestle with and even lose the battle of various temptations and struggles in life. The earth is crumbling around us. We are still mourning with the devastation and the disaster that occurred in Japan. Even those we love are perishing around us. Even as I was writing this sermon this past week, I got a phone call from my mom that told me my aunt's liver had shut down and she had passed away. In the midst of this age of suffering and death, what type of hope is there for us? Is there hope for me? Perhaps that's one of the greatest questions that life has to offer. What will happen? What does the future hold? Is there hope for us? Or do we simply live in utter despair? Do we wander through life? Well, here in this text, Paul actually leads us to the answer. Paul lifts our heads and he tells us and he directs us to look to an age to come when Christ will come, when He will conquer, when He will have complete victory. So this morning, that's what I want us to consider, is that we have hope because Jesus is coming and He will have the final victory. You see, we have hope because Jesus is coming and He will have the final victory. And how I want us to proceed through this text this morning is to look at what does that victory look like? How is it accomplished? And then why is that important for us? What does that mean for us today as we consider the future? What does that mean for us today as we live our lives? So first, let us look and consider in verses 51 through 55 what this victory looks like. Verse 51 reads, "Behold, I tell you a mystery." You see, Paul does not often use this word, "behold," but he does so here to add emphasis to what he's saying. He's saying, pay attention to what I'm about to say. Behold. And this mystery that Paul speaks of in this verse is that return of Jesus Christ. The mystery is the future of that which is to come. In this text, God is allowing us, in a sense, to peek through the curtain that veils the last moment in history. And God is allowing us to peek through to see the future, to reveal to us things that we would have never guessed, things that we would have never imagined. And Paul says, as we peek through that future, in that age to come, you will be changed. He says in verse 52, it will be an immediate change. It says it will be in a moment, in a twinkling of eye type of change. He says whether you find yourself either dead or alive at that last moment in history, when you find yourself, when Christ returns, there will be an instantaneous twinkle of an eye change that will occur in you. And that trumpet that Paul talks about, this trumpet imagery, is actually pretty familiar in the Bible. This trumpet kind of brings to mind the sound of the last battle cry. It's a warning of approaching judgment. It's an announcing of the Lord's coming and a summoning of God's people to Himself. The last trumpet will call and those things will occur. So Paul has told us that this change in the future that is to come will be instantaneous. But then in verse 53, he tells us some of what does that change look like? We know it's an instantaneous change. But what does that change look like? What will happen in that change? Verse 53 tells us, "For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. You see, perishable means that our bodies decay, that our bodies are wearing out, that our bodies run down. And mortal simply means that we die. So Paul is saying here that our perishable bodies that we have now that can die, that are even breaking down, some are even dead already in the grave. So whether we find ourselves dead or alive, the bodies that we have now cannot inherit that imperishable kingdom of heaven. They must be changed. We must be changed. So Paul is saying when Jesus returns, our bodies will be changed so that there's no longer decay. There's no wearing out. There's no running down. There's no death. We will have new bodies, different bodies from the bodies we have now. These bodies will be able to live forever. And not only live forever, but these bodies will be capable of vastly greater joys and pleasures that await for God's people in His kingdom of heaven. And then Paul continues on to tell us a little bit more in verses 54 and 55, that when our bodies will be transformed, when we have these new bodies that will not perish, that will have new faculties to experience greater joys and blessings and glories from God, that when these things happen on that last day, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, that the sayings from Isaiah 25 and Hosea 13 will come to pass, that these things will be fulfilled. And probably you've heard these words before. It says, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? And perhaps you've heard these words before, even at a funeral, offering hope to all those who suffer, offering hope for that age to come. And these are obviously rhetorical questions that Paul is asking here. Paul isn't asking, you know, death, where is your sting? Where is it? I'm not certain. I'm not sure where it's gone. Where has your victory gone, death? These are rhetorical questions because Paul knows what has happened to the suffering age that we live in. He knows what will happen to death in the age to come. And he says that death has been swallowed up. He says the stinger has been removed. And here we have these two images of what will happen to this age, of what will happen to death, or what has happened to death. And these two images of that final defeat, that final victory that Christ will have over death, are pictured in being swallowed up and this loss of a stinger. So you can just picture these in your mind. Being swallowed up. Death being swallowed up. Even in the images that you've seen possibly of Japan. That the ground opening up. The ground gulping down an overwhelming death. That death is consumed in the victory of Christ. And then we see this picture of a sting, the scorpion or a bee possibly without a stinger. And death's deadly sting has been detoxicated. The stinger has been plucked out. You know, what harm can a bee or a scorpion do without that poison, that venom to attack you? And that's what Paul is saying, that in Christ there is no power, there is no sting of death. But how, Paul? How do you know this? How do you know these things are true? Well, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. You see, these truths are some of the most profound and powerful promises of hope that Christians have. So even today as we sit here and we suffer, we wrestle with the things of this age. We wrestle with the death, the perversions of this age. even as our own age creeps over us and our bodies decay, and even when death may appear to have victory around us. You see what Paul is saying here? That death's apparent victory is swallowed up in the infinitely greater power and victory of Christ. But let me give you a warning here, because I think there's a warning even what Paul does not say. But for you who are not resting in Christ, for you who do not have faith in Him, the picture is also clear for you. Death will overcome you. All the miseries of this life are but a taste for the terror and the sting that awaits for you after death. So, I plead with you to turn to Christ. I plead with you that you would put your faith in Him, because there is forgiveness, there is freedom, there is eternal life for you in Christ. These promises that and the hope that Paul lays out for you are free if you would only believe, but a day of terror for you if you do not. So Paul is so confident in this victory of Christ that he taunts death, that he mocks the enemy because death's doom has been so sealed. He says, "Oh death, where is your sting?" Death, Paul is taunting death because he knows that death's doom is sealed. So you see, there is victory alone in Christ. And then secondly, he turns to, how does this happen? He makes the picture clear as, how do you know more of these things that death has indeed been conquered? In verse 56, we see that the sting of death is sin. You see, and what Paul is saying here, that because of sin, there is death. Because of sin, there is death. Death is not simply a process of our age or just a natural occurrence. Death came into the world because of us, because of our sin. The sting that death has is all because of our sin. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." And then in verse 56, a little bit maybe unclear, but making a similar point, it says, "The strength of sin is the law." And what does that mean? The strength of sin is the law. Well, that is that the law makes sin observable to us. Because of the law, we're able to see the sin that then brings death to our lives. The law even more demonstrates to us that our actions, that our sins, are actually actions against God. Not only do we don't deserve that life, but that's, the law shows us that we deserve death. The law shows us that we're guilty under it. The law functions as an agent of sin. Because it either leads us to pride, that we've somehow been fulfilling it, that we've somehow achieved it, or it reveals actually the depth of our guilt and our rebellion against God. You see, the law defines sin for us. The law points to us and shows you how guilty we are. The law shows us the greatness of our depravity. And then sin causes death. So Paul is saying, not only has Christ overcome death for you who believe, not only has Christ overcome death, but He's also overcome all other enemies that have brought death. Paul's saying He's overcome death, but He's overcome the law. He's overcome sin for you. God sent His Son into the world to satisfy all the demands of the law on your behalf. And then to bear that penalty for our sin on the cross, for breaking that law. And then that's how that life can be given to us through faith in Him. Galatians 3:13 says, "Christ has redeemed us from that curse of the law, having become a curse for us." You see, Christ has come, and He has died for you. He took your sins on himself. He satisfied the demands of the law. The sting of death is removed. There is no condemnation. There is no hell. There is no fear. Even when our bodies decay and even when they die, Christ will come, that trumpet will sound, and this mortal body will put on immortality, and the decaying body will become imperishable. Death is swallowed up in great blood-bought Christ accomplishing victory. And Paul says, "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?" You see, as Paul begins to reflect on these truths, as Paul begins to reflect on not only what his Savior has done, but will ultimately accomplish, when Paul begins to think about the victory that has been bought for him in Christ, Paul cannot help but break out into a doxology. Paul cannot help but break out into a burst of thanksgiving and praise. And you see, that's exactly what verse 57 is. As Paul is reflecting upon the person and work of Jesus Christ, accomplished and still yet to come, Paul burst out in the praise and says, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, God has victory over all powers. He proclaims forgiveness. He proclaims life. And this victory to all who are united to him by faith. All right, so what does that mean for us, Paul? Even as we can think and even look forward to the age to come, what does that mean for us today as we sit here, even as we leave this morning? What effect does that have on us today? You see, in light of the sure hope that is to come one day in Christ, in this perfect and complete triumph over sin, the law, and death, Paul actually exhorts us. Paul intends for there to be a very real and practical effect to the things he just said. And that effect is actually verse 58. The effect that Paul has for us in reflecting upon Jesus Christ and the victory that we have is found in verse 58. He says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain." You see, verse 58 happens when we know and we remember verses 51 through 57. Verse 58 happens when we remember and we reflect on the things of verses 51 through 57. And Paul is saying, if you know these things, if you know Christ and you know that victory, if you believe these things, if you believe in the final and complete victory of Christ, you will be changed. You'll be changed this morning. You'll be changed in such a way that allows verse 58 to happen. And these three words are kind of drawn out from that verse, right? Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Let's look at those for just a moment. Being steadfast, steadily moving forward in your faith, not shifting from the true gospel, remembering that there is nothing more important than your eternal soul. When Christ returns, the things of this world will perish, but your soul will continue, so therefore remain steadfast in this gospel. Immovable. Don't be knocked down by sudden blows. Don't be so shaken by the circumstances you find yourselves in. Be like a boulder that cannot be washed away. Be like that tree that is planted by streams of water and continues to bear fruit even in winter. And then the last is always abounding in the work of the Lord. Just fill your days with things that count. Things that count for Christ. Things that will be eternal. Things that are spiritual. Pray. Be in the Word. Open your mouth. Open your mouth and boldly proclaim Christ to this dying world, this perishing world. Give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because there is a day coming. We live in this age now of death and suffering. But with all certainty, there is an age to come. And if you know the future, it affects how you live in the present. Right? If you knew what the lottery numbers were going to be for this week, that would affect what you might do today or tomorrow, right? You might go get those lottery numbers if you knew that those numbers were going to come up. If you knew that where you were sitting right now, lightning was going to strike, if you knew that it was going to soon strike, you would get out of the way. You see how a knowledge of what will happen in the future affects how we live today. And there is a day of certainty approaching. And for you who do not believe, that day is a day of certain judgment. It's like a train of God's holy and perfect wrath coming down tracks you're strapped to. And my voice to you is like the whistle telling you to get out of the way. You can't escape it. You can't escape this day of judgment that is to come, that is certain and sure, if you would but cry out to Jesus. He will rescue you. He will forgive you, and you can have life. You can share in that victory. And then all of you who do believe, for all of you who already believe, there is also a day of certain glory waiting for you. And that's why Paul says, because of this day of certain victory, because of this day of certain victory that is to come, soon to come, even today, Paul says, be steadfast, be immovable, because God's final plans are clear and settled. Now is the time to work. Now is the time to labor for Christ, because what we do for Christ is not in vain, but has eternal and everlasting value and reward. So let me just close by telling you a few things. There was once this Puritan, and every morning he would wake up and he would say, maybe today, Lord, maybe today. And then before he would go to bed, he would say, maybe tonight, Lord, maybe tonight, longing and anticipating his Savior's return, longing and anticipating that final freedom, finally being freed from the sufferings of life, from the pains of life, not even allowing to have an opportunity to sin, but being freed even from all temptations of sin and freed from death even to come. And I say, let us and let our lives be lived with that type of anticipation. Let us also long for that day, our final redemption, because for the Christian, the best is yet to come. Our life, any blessing that you have of life, is but a prelude of the blessings to come. And we're going to be singing the doxology, and I just want you to hear, you know, when the little prelude starts, you can think of that prelude as your life, and then we burst out into those words, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. And that's somewhat of a picture of our life. Our life and the blessings that we have in Christ now are but a prelude to that day to come when they will be poured out, when Christ will come in final glory and victory and share that with us. But today, there are so many struggles. Today, there are so many struggles in life. But we know that history is not just a circle of meaningless events, but it's moving forward, always moving forward. It's linear, moving forward closer to that day, every moment that Christ will be revealed in full glory. So when your body is failing you, you can remember that Christ will come and give you the final victory. When you find yourself in various trials and temptations, and even when the presence and stain of sin is very real in your life, when you hurt, and even when death seems to be surrounding you, remember that the last act in the drama of redemption is still to be performed. Jesus will come, and you will share in his mighty and perfect victory. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, change us. Change our hearts now. Help us to remember our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us not be so shaken by the things of this world, but let us be steadfast and immovable, remembering that the perfect victory of Christ is clear, that it's inevitable. Father, help us to trust you. Lord, we thank you for the victory we have in Christ. We thank you for the life that we have in him. We thank you for saving such sinners like us that we can even share in that final redemption. And it's only in the name of our Jesus, our Savior, our true deliverer, that we pray. Amen.